Have you ever been in that spot, where you're working with suppliers, maybe getting custom parts made, and you're just hoping they're using the right materials? It's such a common thing in manufacturing, but getting it wrong. The costs can be huge. We're talking delays, parts failing, lost trust, serious money down the drain.
It's a massive headache.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive. We want to give you a shortcut, really, to preventing those headaches before they even start.
Yeah, the core issue we're tackling is making sure that the supplier, especially if you're importing something like, say, custom steel parts, actually uses the specified raw materials.
Right.
And it's definitely more complicated than just asking for a certificate and calling it a day.
Okay, so let's nail this down. Our mission here is to unpack a layered approach. We'll look at mill test reports, MTRs, traceability, how you follow the material and supplier audits, basically a full guide to verifying those raw material certs in the real world.
Sounds good.
So, first things first, the actual proof. What certifications should you even be asking for? I mean, we've all heard it, right? Supplier says, yeah, it's the right stuff. No paper, just a
Oh,
promise.
definitely.
And then, boom, you send the parts for third-party testing and they fail. It just hammers home that taking their word for it. Oh, that's not a
It's
strategy.
really not. The foundation has to be specific documents, objective records. And the absolute first one you need is the mill test report. The MTR.
Okay, the MTR.
This comes directly from the raw material mill, the place that actually made the steel, for instance. Its whole job is to verify the chemical makeup and the mechanical properties.
Like hardness, strength.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Carbon content, chromium, tensile strength, yield strength, the critical stuff that dictates performance. And crucially, that MTR must show the original batch or heat number.
The heat number, right.
Yes. Along with the detailed chemical composition and the physical test results. Without those specifics, you have no real proof the material in your parts matches what you ordered.
Got it. What else?
Then there's the certificate of conformance, the COSI. This usually comes from your direct supplier, the one making the part. It confirms their work complies with your specs.
Okay.
Now, for seal, especially if you need higher assurance, you look at the EN 10204 standards. A Type 3.1 MTR means it's been verified internally by the mill's own QA department. Which is good,
But
but Type 3.2, that's really considered the gold standard for assurance.
why is that?
Because it involves an independent third-party inspector. Someone completely separate verifies the results at the mill, alongside the mill's own inspection representative.
Ah, so an outside check removes any potential bias.
Precisely. It's invaluable when failure is just not an option. And of course, depending on your industry, you might need sector-specific certs. Think AS9100 for aerospace.
Right, critical safety stuff.
Absolutely. Or IATF 16949 for automotive. These add layers of requirements focused on risk, safety, and process control specific to those industries.
So these documents, they build the paper trail, they connect the contract requirements to the material specs on paper. Makes sense.
But what if that paper trail, however perfect it looks, doesn't actually link up to the physical parts you receive? How do you bridge that gap?
Ah, now you're talking traceability.
Exactly.
Yay.
Verifying material traceability feels like the next essential layer. I remember this one project for a U.S. customer, defense-related parts. The supplier sent over all the certs, MTRs looked great.
Yeah.
But when we actually checked the batch codes stamped on the parts themselves, they didn't match the certs at all. Nothing lined up.
Oof, that's bad.
It was a nightmare. We had to scrap everything, redo the whole order. Huge cost, huge delay. It really showed what happens when traceability breaks down.
That's a perfect, albeit painful, example. So, what is material traceability? Fundamentally, it's being able to link every single part back to its origin, back to that specific batch or heat number from the mill.
Creating that unbroken chain.
Exactly. From the mill, through your supplier's process, right to the finished part in your hand.
Okay, so how do you do it, practically speaking?
It's a process, step by step.
All right, walk us through it. First, you demand those MTRs, and you check they have the heat numbers clearly listed.
Okay.
Then you physically look at the parts or the raw material labels if it hasn't been processed yet. Does the heat number match the MTR?
Okay, physical verification.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then cross-reference everything. Do the labels, the MTRs, the packing list, do they all align? Does the quantity match up?
Makes sense.
And then, ideally, you check the supplier's internal production records. Do their records show that this heat number was used for your job order?
Okay, that's digging deeper.
It is. And to make this stick, you need it in your purchase contracts. Be explicit.
Like what?
Require the heat number to be marked on the part or its direct packaging. insist on clear lot or batch number linkage in their system, demand a material source declaration, where did they buy the steel?
Only transparency.
And definitely include a record retention clause. How many years must they keep these MTRs and traceability records? 5 years, 10 years. You need access if something sails later.
And all this effort, it connects back to why it's so critical, right? If a part fails, you can trace it. Find the root cause.
Precisely. Objective data.
And it's essential for certain imports into the U.S., isn't it? Like under CIMA for steel or Section 232 stuff handled by CBP.
Absolutely. For regulatory compliance in those areas, knowing the exact origin and pedigree of the material isn't optional. It's mandatory.
Okay, MTRs. Traceability. Check. But sometimes you need to see it for yourself. Which brings us to audits. And I'll admit, I learned this lesson the hard way.
Oh.
Yeah, years ago, trying to save a bit on travel costs, maybe skipped a few factory visits, deeper audits, thought the paperwork was enough.
Uh-oh.
Big mistake. When a problem eventually cropped up, we realized we had zero real visibility into their actual sourcing, their QC on the ground. We were flying blind. Audits, I learned, are non-negotiable for real peace of mind.
You're absolutely right. Audits go beyond the paper. They verify the practice. What is the supplier actually doing day to day? How do they handle incoming material? How do they store certs? How good is their quality control?
What kinds of things do audits typically uncover?
Oh, all sorts. Hidden risks, especially with the critical parts. We've seen third-party audits find things like certified and uncertified material stored right next to each other, big risk of mix-ups.
Yikes.
Or finding out their testing equipment hasn't been calibrated properly. So even if they are testing, the results might be garbage. You just don't see that on an MTR alone.
Okay, so what kind of audits are we talking about?
Well, you've got your on-site audits. That's boots on the ground. You go there, review documents, watch processes, check their systems. Highly recommended for anything high risk or, you know, big volume orders.
Makes sense.
Then there are virtual audits. You do it remotely, video calls, screen sharing, document reviews. It's a decent option for maybe moderate risk suppliers or if budgets are really tight.
Better than nothing.
Definitely. And then especially for aerospace, defense, medical, heavily regulated sectors, you really want third-party audits. An independent expert comes in, totally unbiased verification.
Got it. So during an audit, what are the key things you're looking for? What should you check?
Good question. You definitely want to scrutinize their raw material sourcing process.
Mm.
Who are their suppliers? How do they qualify them?
Okay.
Look at their MTR storage and retrieval. Is it organized? Can they pull the cert for a specific batch quickly? Check their quality manual, their ISO 9001 procedures. If they have them, do they actually follow them?
Right, the follow through.
Ask to see recent records of material rejections or deviations. How did they handle past problems? Look at their equipment calibration logs.
Crucial.
And watch how they do incoming inspection on raw materials. Critically, how do they physically segregate certified materials from uncertified ones in their warehouse? Prevent those mix-ups.
That seems like a really thorough checklist. Okay, so we've got certs, traceability, audits. But let's be real. Sometimes, despite all that, things still go wrong.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
I remember getting a shipment of flanges, supposed to be stainless steel, standard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We ran a salt spray test. They rusted, like, almost immediately. Clearly not stainless. The supplier initially, total denial. Nope. Sent the right stuff.
Of course.
We had to send samples to an independent lab. Sure enough, carbon steel. It was alarming, and it really drove home the need for a clear plan when noncompliance hits.
Absolutely. And those moments, they really stick with you, don't they? Because stainless steel isn't just words. It's a promise about performance.
Right.
And when that promise fails, you need a structured response. Not panic, but a plan. First step, issue a formal nonconformance report, an NCR. Document everything, photos, the failing test results, the original MTRs you have. Do it fast, ideally within a day.
Okay, formal notice.
Then demand a root cause analysis. Make the supplier investigate why it happened. Give them a deadline, say 3 days.
Put the onus on them.
Exactly. Then review their proposed corrective action plan. Does it actually fix the root cause?
Mm.
Is it robust? Aim to review that within maybe 7 days. And crucially, be ready to enforce your contract. Use that warranty or reject clause. You might need to demand rework or reject the whole batch, all at their expense.
Which highlights why the contract is so important up front. What clauses are absolutely essential for protection here?
Great point. You need a strong warranty against non-certified materials. Explicitly state their liability. Include a clear right for you to audit and test materials, either yourself or using a third party.
The right to check.
Yes. Spell out supplier liability for your production downtime if their bad material causes delays. And maybe even include the right to withhold payment until the nonconformance is fully resolved.
Those sound like solid safeguards, business insurance, really.
They are. And beyond the contract, think proactively. Maybe implement a KPI system. Track material compliance order by order if a supplier keeps messing up.
Off the approved list.
Swiftly. And consider random testing on incoming shipments. Use something like spectrochemical analysis, PMI testing. It's non-destructive, quick, and can catch discrepancies before those parts get into your production line.
Catch it early. Smart.
It's all about adding layers of defense.
Okay, so wrapping this up then, it sounds like the real key is, as you said, that layered approach. It's not just one thing.
Not at all. It's the combination. Always get the MTRs.
Yeah.
Always verify traceability. Do the audits. And have that plan ready for when things inevitably sometimes go wrong. Build that trust through data and verification.
And when you put all those pieces together, the benefit for you, the listener, is pretty clear. You protect your product quality, you avoid those costly failures.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe most importantly, you protect your relationships with your own customers. You deliver what you promise.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So maybe here's a final thought to leave you with. Think about how integrating these steps, the MTRs, the tracing, the audits, the planning, mm-hmm. how that can move beyond just preventing failures. How can it actually help you build stronger, more reliable, more trusting supplier partnerships for the long haul? That's where the real competitive advantage lies.